Hey guys, it's Mel, your host of the Cutting Edge Podcast. This is a show where we talk transformation from every angle, body, mind, and confidence with a little sparkle and a whole lot of truth. I'm joined by my amazing co-host, Dr. Omar Betas and the plastic surgery pro, and Ashlyn Douglas Barnes, our go-to therapist and mindset queen. Now, quick disclaimer, none of us are your doctor or therapist. We are just here sharing real talk, real stories, and real growth. So grab your protein shake, settle in, and let's get into it. This is The Cutting Edge.
Hey, it's Ashlyn. Just one more thing before we begin. I will be sharing some of my own plastic surgery journey, which is personal to me and may not reflect what others go through. And if you're a current client of mine, please talk with me first before listening, because knowing personal details about me could affect your therapy. And your well-being always comes first. Now on to the show.
Welcome back to the Cutting Edge Podcast, and I am your host, Mel, and this is the place you get the most updated resources for both therapy and for plastic surgery. So I got my experts on with me. Welcome to the show, Ashlyn and Dr. Betas.
Hello, hello.
Hi, everyone.
How are you guys today?
I think Dr. Betas can be very honest that he's a little tired today.
Yes. Tell them what you just did. Yeah. Tell the audience, what did Dr. Betas double certified for? Board certified.
One board. I only have one board. Plastic surgery.
Oh, I thought you had double.
What did you give him another board certification?
I did. I guess. I gave him an extra one.
What did I do? I did a Vaser Lipo 360 case with Renuvion, and then we did a torsoplasty, a breast reduction with lift, and an abdominoplasty or tummy tuck today. So it's about an 11 hour surgery.
Just crazy. So you know what my first question was, like, did you eat? Did you pee?
You did.
How does that work? Explain to them how that works, because that's probably like a question people have when you start to tell them.
I do get that question a lot. Yeah, so sometimes I don't take a break. You know, sometimes if I drink too much tea or coffee in the morning, I do need to take a break. And then I'll also usually try to just drink a little bit more and hydrate. If we're supine the whole time, meaning we're not changing positions, then I typically won't take a very long break. And if anything, like I said, quick bathroom, get a drink while my assistant's closing something. So something's happening while I'm out of the room, and it's like 10, 15 minutes max. On days like today, where there's a position change, like from front to back or vice versa, I'll usually take my break while we flip. So I help move the patient, and then the team is putting the sterile field back up, right? So they have to clean the skin, put our drapes up, put our towels down, things like that. That takes about, again, 15, 20 minutes. So I'll run out, grab a bite, get a drink, and then come back. So
I would die. I drink like a gallon and a half of water. I would die.
You do.
Saturating. I drink so much fluid. I would die. Well, I'm very
That's
glad.
Why I'm always drinking on our episodes. I'm trying to catch up because Mondays are my long surgery days. So I'm trying to.
Well, we are so proud of you. And thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Yeah, my pleasure. These are always fun. So.
Well, and we're going to be talking, guys, about timelines. Because we kind of put ourselves on arbitrary timelines and we make these rules for no reason. And we really need to listen to our experts on what that actually looks like. So timeline, guys, who wants to start?
So I'll tell the audience kind of how I came up with this idea for this episode is I definitely have had clients that come in with this idea. So I call it like the timeline myth that once they get skin removal surgery, that will be the final chapter and they'll be done. And I will be 100% honest. This was me. This is definitely me. Like, I'm going to get the, and that would be the end. And then I'll be good. I don't know what this arbitrary, like, I'll be good would look like. And then it didn't really happen that way. But I think I see that as a pattern for clients now where it's like, oh, I just need to do this. And this will be the final chapter, the final chapter. And then I'll be done. And then I'm like, okay, then what are we done with? Only because I don't know what, like, I didn't, you know, you still have to be in maintenance. There's still a concern and fear that I think throws people off. I think there's this misconception that when you have plastic surgery, then your weight somehow stabilizes and you don't worry about it anymore. And you just live your life. Mm-hmm. I think it's a more subconscious psychological one, not one brought on by plastic surgery. I don't think any plastic surgeon is telling you that, but I think there's this like, oh, well, then my body would be, right, would be stable, and then I'll just not worry about any of it. And that is definitely a myth. I think, again, I don't think it's conscious. I don't think anyone goes in generally believing that, but I think there's this idea that, like, this is the final chapter, and then I'm good to go.
Well, I can see it, because for me, I feel like that will be my final chapter. So I do get it, because of, like, getting up to 308 pounds, getting down, and then getting the plastic surgery, that would be my, I'd be like, okay, that's the end of my weight loss journey, even though it's not. I can see, as I say it out loud, I'm like, it's not at all. But that's what it feels like. You're like, oh, I completed the circle or something. Circle of weight loss.
It's probably not too dissimilar, not to change topics, but not too dissimilar to people thinking that, like, a lipo is a weight loss method, right? I see plenty of people come in and they're like, oh, I want to do this lipo and then I'm going to look great. And I'm like, you're not going to look great with lipo, you know, if you're 50 pounds overweight. Like, that's not the way to look great. The way to look great is to lose the weight and then maybe you need some skin removal. And yes, we can do lipo at the same time. But I hope plastic surgeons aren't going around telling people that, you know, this is going to be like their weight stabilizer. Because yeah, it's a lot of work afterwards. And surgery is not the solution. It's just the way to, how do I word this? It's a way to show your hard work, right?
Hey friends, this episode is sponsored by findabariatrictherapist.com, because bariatric life is full of ups and downs and everything in between, but you don't have to go through it alone. FindABariatricTherapist.com makes it easy to connect with therapists who truly understand your journey, the mindset shifts, the identity changes, and all the real-life challenges that come after surgery. Because therapy designed for bariatric patients changes everything. Visit FindABariatricTherapist.com and find your support today.
At least in my opinion, it's giving someone their confidence back because they lost all that weight. And they have, you know, whether it's loose skin or skin rolls or whatever it is, breasts sagging, loose skin on the arms, they can't wear t-shirts. I mean, that's what it's about, is giving the patient that confidence back.
Yeah. I think for a lot of my clients, it's function.
Yeah.
Like being able function, to like walk without their legs rubbing to the point of rawness, or they're having their skin folds cause very serious infection. That's like this ongoing worry and pain. I have one that it's like almost like little cuts. It's very painful when she's trying to live her life day to day. And so I think like those, for those clients, like it's function. Yeah. Giving a lot of your function back, or at least being able to use some of your mental energy for something else.
Because you really do use your mental energy on that. Like, you obsess over it. It's probably something that you think about all the time, especially if you're trying to work out and it's clapping back at you saying, hi, I'm here. You know, like, I get it, because when I do the mountain climbers, it claps and says hi to me the whole time. My tummy does. And it's just mountain climbers. I know, but they work so well. They're so good for your butt and thighs.
It's a mountain climber.
It's the machine that.
Oh, okay.
You're doing it with both your legs and your arms at the same time.
I thought you were literally climbing the mountains, but then when you said it was a mountain climber, I was like, I'm missing something here.
There's also like a non-machine way. You do it on the floor, right?
Where
you're
like, yes, that's the one I do.
Okay, there's an actual machine. It's even more fun.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that Jacob's Ladder? Or is that different?
What's it called?
Jacob's Ladder?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I need to try those, definitely.
But I learned that from my wife. I had no idea what that equipment
was. It's kind of intimidating because you're like,
is okay, it? I've never tried it.
Like, watch someone use it, and I'm like, or the one that's an ongoing climbing machine, but it's not, you don't hold on to it and do it at the same time, but it's like this, it's like a stair climber on steroids, but it's like, I'm always afraid if you don't continue to do it, you do it with your legs too, so you like climb. But it's like a rotating thing that has bars. So you're like moving on to the next one. That one, I'm always afraid I'm going to fall off of it.
They do not have that at my gym, but I would like to try.
Yeah.
Because that sounds very interesting.
Different form of Jacob's Ladder. Jacob's Ladder freaks me out too.
They have Jacob's Ladder at my gym, but I've never seen anyone use it.
They're all scared too.
So intimidating.
Maybe. I'm going to try it one day.
I think probably it's one of those things that you want to watch a YouTube video on how to use it, and then you'll have a little more confidence to use it, because there's, I think, a little bit of skill to it. I'm just always afraid I'm going to fall off of it, because that thing will probably keep going.
That's what I'm worried about.
But yeah, that is something, like, I have, I still have some extra skin on my thighs, and there are times when I'll wear dresses that I will sit and it will, like, I will hear it. And I'm always like, if other people hear this or, like, think anything of it, they probably don't, but it kind of makes me laugh when it happens, because I'm like, I am at the weight that I am at, and my my thighs still make noise. So it, like, never ends, but
it you, never
know, you,
ends.
You just learn to tolerate, you know, you figure out what your tolerance level is, and I probably will not get my legs done.
Right.
It's such a pain. Ugh.
Well, see, that's something that you know about yourself, too. Like, that's not part of your final or the timeline for you. You're like, that's not even on it.
My lower back, though, I still want, even though I had the plastic surgery I used, she was like, Ashton, I don't think it's going to be worth it. I was like, ugh. I know.
Not worth doing the lower back?
Yeah, why is it not worth it?
She didn't feel there was enough.
To do what? A lower body lift?
Yeah.
Maybe you should have.
Maybe doctor. I know. Yeah. One day, I know. I gotta pay off some debt. But
see, I feel like the most common thing I say in the OR is this patient needed a lower body lift because.
Which I did. That was the problem. I needed it from the beginning. I needed a 360 for the beginning, and I just the surgeons.
Even today, the lady only did an abdominoplasty, and I'm. Fairly certain, I'm almost certain I talked to her about a lower body lift, and most patients are like, you know, the front bothers me, the back doesn't bother me that much.
But it will.
It's like, it's melting. I think in the end, because it'll probably help my inner thighs too. I think the problem too is I don't have the legs where probably the full incision all the way down is necessary. So I think some of the surgeons I've talked to in the past were like, you saying where to squeeze? Which is why originally when I talked to you, I think it's something we met, I was like, tell me if you've ever done the thigh where the incision's at the top. Because I just have like the one meaty part at the very top, but I don't have it on the outside. Like I'm very fortunate. I think of like my leg shape, like I'm very fortunate that I don't, like I have a lot of friends who have a lot on the outside. I don't have anything on the outside thigh. It's all like inside thigh.
Same. Mine are more inside thigh.
So. Be crazy.
Yeah, you could do a
live from the OR, Ashlyn getting another.
Yeah, I think we both need to do that.
Oh my God. It's like my clients, like live from the OR, Ashlyn the therapist. Oh my God, I can only imagine the board of social work is like, so you thought the level of involvement in your life should be you live from the OR. I'm like,
no.
It's not a bad idea.
It's not. I'll take it.
I know, right? We're going to pool our money.
Because
it'd be very boring, though. I mean, imagine watching. I don't know. You're going to have to, like, speed it up or something. No one wants to watch.
I mean, we would make it probably, like, Instagram, you know, where it's, like, little. No
clips. One can sit there
for hours. But I don't know. I don't know. It's interesting. I always wonder about that, though. I'm very much out. It is funny. One of the ideas I thought of, but again, it's like, how do we pull more plastic surgery into this? Is like the fear or the pressure when you have plastic surgery to show people and people wanting to see when you're a pretty private person who doesn't normally show that. So, yeah.
That would be interesting because I, if you even look at my Instagram, I don't really show skin much. Like it's just, it's very limited. And I'll do it in spurts, but it's definitely not all the time. So it would definitely be an interesting thing to do. Because I would do a 360 because now I know that is 100% important. So ladies and gents, and definitely the gents, you've got to do a 360. Like just don't just do the front. You're going to get those ear things on the sides and then you're going to be mad that your butt's flat and
you're melting. Like, your front will be good, and the back will be melty. I think that's the thing, too. I'm like, oh, it doesn't feel like it matches. Because I was kind of 50-50 on my arms, but then once I got the front done, I was like, ooh, my arms are the final indication that I was previously obese. Like, the average person could look at me and be like, something's different here. And that's one of the reasons that I got my arms done. Because I think it is interesting. There's a group of people that have never known me obese in my life.
Yep.
And I think if my arms were still the way they were, I'd have a lot more questions, or people would be less surprised to know that I previously was obese.
Really?
I have a lot of people that tell me they.
Because it depends on how bad your arms were. Because I think some people just with no, they weren't good. Okay.
They weren't horrible. The issue I had is my armpits. It was more. I had some hanging skin, but it was more in here. It looked weird.
Well, after weight loss, everyone's those because you've stretched that skin.
Yes.
Yep.
And it was more like we needed to do a lot of work, like in the armpit, as we have spoke about in previous. It's not that has nothing to do with your boob. That is your armpit. That is a
that will not area. Be fixed with that your will boob not lift. Be
fixed with your breast lift. Yeah. So I think my arm lift, though we did go all the way to elbow, which I felt we needed. I think my surgeon had talked to me about maybe doing half, but I had someone I knew or had seen where they had only done half and then it looked weird. So I was like, no, we need a smooth transition to the elbow.
Yeah.
I'm very happy about that because it really does look, I have a feeling it would have looked weird if we had done half and then still had.
Yeah. I think so. I think you're right.
I've never done a half. And then the other one that people do is this one here. And that one looks terrible too. You always end up hating it.
What is the incision in that one?
Yeah, can you tell everybody what you just pointed to?
So on the arm, it's almost like where this crease on my shirt is. So it's like in your armpits here. It's like in the armpit.
Okay. Oh,
never heals well. You can't remove enough skin.
It's not.
I've seen that scar.
Yeah,
and if you have, the patient, I'm sure, regrets doing it.
Interesting. See, now I'm wondering, I'm probably going to feel that way about my thigh. That's not the same thing I'm trying to do in my thigh. Except instead of going all the way down, it's kind of like.
But in the thigh, it can work because in the thigh, when you do that incision, you are spreading it over a large, a larger area or a long incision.
Part of it
go into the groin.
Of this, is
yeah, you go into the groin, you go around the buttocks, so you have an area where you can cut out a decent amount of skin. It's almost a 360 scar. With this, they're trying to hide it in the armpit. So you've got like a 6 centimeter, 4 centimeter section of scar. Right. So how much skin can you resect in this area? It's not much, maybe this much width.
That doesn't sound good.
Mm-mm. I wonder if that's originally what his thought process was. And I was like, but what about this? And he's like, okay, we'll go halfway down. I'm like, no, that would look weird. No. We need to go all the way down to that.
Well, and it's kind of interesting because you said in the beginning that you did think that you were going to do one and done. And how many surgeries have you done?
I've had 6.
Yeah. So that's kind of our point, guys.
It's funny. I had a friend one time that was like, I think you're addicted to plastic surgery. And I was like, wait, I can explain. So part of the issue that I had is one, I did not have enough money to do all the things that needed to be done at once. I don't think they could have.
You had what I would do in 11 hours. Over 6 surgeries.
Right.
Yep.
Right. And the reality, because most of my I think 2 of them were maybe over, I don't think any of them were over 7 hours. So.
Okay. Maybe you had what I would do in 2 surgeries.
Yeah. Oh, no. You could have done all of what I wanted in much fewer surgeries if you had unlimited funds. And as we talked about in previous episodes, it probably would have been cheaper for me, but I also had some revisions along the way.
But you might not have needed the revisions.
Probably. But I also had the top and the bottom done at the same time, which we found out an episode or two ago. You probably shouldn't do that.
You did, yeah.
The top and the bottom?
So like, I had a capital I, but we...
Yeah. I mean, it's just a risky incision, I think, to do all at once. It's not a terrible idea. Did you get wounds?
I was going to say, you were healed fine, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But I kind of super heal. I get that, like,
super
it closes healed. Really fast. I don't know. I had this one. Another super episode healer. Of Ashlyn's body is weird and probably not like yours. I had skull surgery, and I told the guy when he put the staples in, I heal really quickly. You're going to need to take the staples out faster than normal. And the guy's like, no. I was like, okay. So we waited the normal amount of time and the skin had grown over the staples and it was so awful when he took them out. So I have, it's probably part of the EDS. I don't know. All of the weirdness that I have, I get like, it looks kind of like keloids sometimes, but it's not keloids. Someone told me. I just really.
Hypertrophic scarring.
Yes. Ooh. So they're like long and.
You're like a Wolverine. Great.
Except the one scar that I was the most worried about, the up and down on the belly, that is my best scar on my entire body, and that was the one I did not want, which is hilarious.
Look at that.
I was so afraid I was going to end up with the butt belly button, but I did not.
And you didn't. No, you did not. That's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the best scar on my entire body. You can't even see it. It's the only one you cannot see.
Well, look at that. That's the one I'm scared of, too.
And I think you told us the reason that that probably went well is because it doesn't, it's the direction that it goes, right? So it doesn't pull.
There's usually not much tension in this direction. It's in this direction.
So when it comes to timeline, Dr. Betas, when can we, one, what is the regular timeline for some of these surgeries? And then two, like, when can you have another surgery once one's done? Like, how long do we wait? So
I think the first part of that question, when is the right time to have plastic surgery? It's going to change for everyone, or not change, but it's going to be different for everyone, right? I mean, you have to consider things like the minimum time would be 1 year from bariatric surgery. That's the absolute minimum, but it can be, I have patients who come in a year later, sometimes even like 10 months. So like, man, I lost all the weight in the first 6 months. I'm ready to go. I'm like, well, let's give it like a year, you know, give it a few more months. and or stable weight for 3 months, I would say, is again, kind of the minimum. And then the other thing is people might wait 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. You know, that probably has more to do with, you know, family responsibilities. If you have little kids, if you have a job, you can't take off. If you're young and plan on having kids, I've had those patients like, I don't want to do my tummy tuck now because I'm going to have kids in the next 5 years or 6 years or 7 years. And then financial reasons, right? That's probably maybe the biggest one for most people. So, and then to answer the second question, in between two stages, we usually recommend a minimum of 3 months. Now, if you know, and again, that I may not make the same recommendation for everyone, but if you are like a gym rat, if you come in and you're doing all the right things to begin with, 3 months is usually fine. If you come in and you tell me, I don't know how much protein I get, you know, I might get 20 grams. I don't go to the gym. I just, you know, I have very set.
20 grams of protein. How are these people surviving?
People like that. Yeah, they're out there.
The people that drink a cup of coffee, that's the only thing they drink all day. I'm like, how are you a lizard? Are you an alien? How are you alive?
So those patients, I usually tell them 3 months is the minimum, but you may not feel up to it at 3 months because you might still be recovering from the first one. So, but the people who do all the things, they're usually like, I want it. They'll schedule both 3 months apart. Okay. And they do fine. Yeah.
Now, how long is the healing timeline?
Which I will say for all those people out there who could not have imagined at 3 months doing another surgery, I'm with you.
I was
not ready. At 3 months, I was still healing. I was not the gym rat.
Mentally or physically?
Physically, no. I was still super swollen. I don't know. It took me so long to get... Okay, also, correction from last episode. Correction. I asked my husband about the compression and why I was in it so long. He said the surgeon told me I was weird and I was still having a lot of swelling. So I'm just... I was in compression as long, but I was in compression for
how long? Remind me, 6 months?
Six months. I think I was.
I mean,
it was 3 months, 24 hours because he remembered. Thank God he has a better brain than I do. We tried to do 12 hours and I was having such a hard time that we went back to 24 hours and then we came out of 12 hours and then. Instead of the suit, I was wearing more like a Spanx for 12 hours and then sleeping in the more compressed suit. I was just having a lot of swelling.
Why weren't you using the compression the whole time?
I was getting tired of it.
Oh, I mean, there are going to be like...
He was trying to give me a full 12-hour break out of it. And so that was not happening.
So, you know, two things, and I wasn't your surgeon, so I'm going to speak in very general terms, but there are people who have more swelling than others, right? I mean, everyone's a little bit different. And certainly the more active you are, the more swelling you're going to have.
Right.
I think we talked about that last time. The other thing is...
I can't
And then the other thing is multiple surgeries on the same area or near the same area, you're going to, you know, remove more lymphatic channels, right? Cause more scar tissue. So that may have been it. I don't know if you noticed more swelling with your sixth compared to your third, for example. And then lastly, I mean, if surgeons aren't careful, you can accidentally, you know, there's lymph nodes in the groin, right? Which is right in the area where we do a tummy tuck, for example, or in the armpit in a brachioplasty, there's lymph nodes if you're not careful. And lymphatic channels. So through surgery, depending on how the surgeon did it, they may have removed some of those, whether it's lymph nodes or lymphatic vessels. And that could have caused your swelling to be worse than average.
I had a lot of draining, even with both surgeons. So it might have, I think there's just something weird about my body because my drains were in forever for both surgeons. So I think there's just something odd.
So did you use drains with your arms?
I think you are definitely our unicorn for all things.
I am. No, that was no, I had them in for my back and I had my back and my arms at the same time. So I had, well, I don't know actually where it was because it kind of came out. Yes, I did. But I don't know if it was for my back or if it was for the arms.
I've only had one
surgery without drains. And that was when I did Lipo 360. I had no drains for that one. But I had drains for everything else.
I would say we are pretty drainless except for tummy, lower body lifts, which includes a tummy. And then some breasts, depending on what exactly we're doing. Like a typical lift doesn't need drains. A typical reduction doesn't need drains.
I didn't have them any for breasts, just arm, back. And then every time we did something with the tummy. So I think definitely, I had four for one.
Ooh, four.
She's just
and then I drained like beyond the reasonable amount, and they I remember the guy was like, are you sure you're measuring this correctly? Yes, I would not give you extra, I want them out.
They're like, trust me.
But I don't want anyone, if they were like, oh my god, if I have to be in compression for 6 months, I can't do this, and I heard Ashton was in compression for 6 months. I am the anomaly. I'm not scaring anyone away. Or if you believe, you're like, I don't want to have drains in for a month, I'm the anomaly. Don't worry about it. Your surgeon probably won't even allow it. Both of mine were like, oh my god, what are we going to do?
So that just seems way too long. Way too long. So I guess my question is, when it comes to like state, because here's the thing, guys. When we think it's going to be one and done, we could end up going to Dr. Beta's and him saying it's two stages. So I would like Dr. Beta's to talk to, like, tell me what that looks like when you have someone in your office that says that. And then Ashlyn, what the patient looks like for you.
So when they come in and say they want everything done in one stage.
Mm-hmm. And then you have to start telling them like, there's no way, like we have to do this in two stages. Like how, what's that reaction? Like, how do you calm them if they're upset?
I think that's a good question. And it's funny because I think there's two types of people that I see, right? And I don't know, I'm trying to think, but I'm not sure I can immediately come up with which one's more common. But I have the type of patient who comes in, like my patient today, you know, she, again, breast, torso, Lipo 360, tummy tuck, like that is not a 3-4 hour surgery.
No. So
then you come up with a plan with them in the office. And either in the office with me, they'll be like, well, how long is that? And I usually try to mention to them like, hey, these are long surgeries. We do this all the time. We do them safely. You know, I kind of go through a typical little spiel that I give them. And I'm like, this is going to be like a 10 hour surgery. Don't be surprised. So I have patients who are like, oh my God, that's way too long. Like, no, I want to break it down. And again, we talk through it. I'd say most are okay proceeding knowing that this is something we typically do. I have others who are like, no, I want to break it down. That's too long. I would say that's the minority. So that's the first person.
Yeah, they're self-staging. Like, I don't think a lot of people basically want to self-stage.
Well, I imagine most people end up self-staging when you're like, and by the way, to be in the OR for 10 hours cost $40,000 or whatever it cost to, like, what was to the cost of today's? Do you know off the top of your head?
I don't know. I would guess 30-something thousand, just guessing.
And that has more to do with the fact that it was like a long OR time.
I mean, long OR time and lots of procedures, lots of, you know, we use Vaser, we use Renuvion, all those things add cost.
So he says Renuvion, that is lipo.
That's radio frequency tightening.
Oh, that is after not lipo.
That's a skin tightening.
Skin tightening.
There we go.
Can you do it without lipo? Like, just you do skin removal and you just do that, or you only do it with lipo?
So I had a patient ask that same question the other day. You can do it kind of without lipo, but you need the, you need the lipo cannula essentially, because the Renuvion wand or cannula, whatever you want to call it, it's very flimsy. It's not like in a super bend, but my point is, like, it's not a rigid metal cannula. It's made of plastic. And so it doesn't pass through tissue and make a tunnel for itself. But it needs a tunnel to work. So basically what it does is when you have this connective tissue network and you've sucked out all the fat, then it goes in and it kind of contracts the bands that go this way. It needs a space to go through. And like I said, it's not a metal cannula. So I usually do lipo, but if you have like no fat to remove, you still need the lipo cannula because it's rigid to just create the tunnels before you do the Renuvion. So I always use it with lipo. There might have been like a few patients where lipo is very like minimal. And you do have to tumes, meaning you put the fluid in that you typically would do before lipo.
Okay.
First type of patient. You know, 11 hours, that's too long. You talk through it, they do fine. But then, you know, they still have that reaction that, like, I wanted 6 body parts and I thought this was going to be like a 4-hour surgery. So that's the first type. And then you have the second type who comes in and is like, I want this, and this. And you tell them, okay. And then they're like, well, I want like 5 stages. It's like, okay, well, that's your choice if you really want. That one's more rare, I would say.
I did not purposely want 5
stages. Yeah.
It's not my intent.
And then, I mean, you have others who actually probably, I would say that one's actually, you almost never encounter the patients who are like, I want a multiple stage unless it's a financial reason.
Yeah.
So maybe the second patient or more common would be the one who's like, I want everything done. Oh, it's 15 hours. Okay, sign me up. And I'm like, I don't want to be in the OR for 15 hours. Like, relax. So then that's, you know, to your point, Mel, that's when we have to sit down and say, we have to break this up into 2. Maybe it's 3 in some patients. I would say the vast majority of patients, I can do upper body in 1 stage, lower body in a 2nd stage. So most of the time it's going to be done in 2. Occasionally, and again, I think we've covered this before, but patients who've lost like 200-400 pounds, those need more stages to get a good result, because you're pulling skin in multiple different directions. Sometimes I tell those patients, like, 200 pounds and more, you basically need like 2 of everything. Like, you almost need 2 arm lifts, 2 breast lifts, 2 whatever, because the first time you do it, the skin just relaxes so quickly. You end up, again, it's not a bad result, but you might go from having skin like this tight, and then the second time you need to come back and pinch it more, if that makes sense, because the skin just relaxes.
That was like your magic back one that you showed us that was 3. Oh, yeah. And the second one, you're like, where is this going? This looks odd. And then the third one, you're like, okay.
You have to plan those. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yes.
Poor girl in between. But I mean, for a function, I'm sure it was great. But like the last one, you're like, oh, wow, that's okay.
Yeah. And it makes sense because our body settles. Right. Yeah. So it's like, I don't think if I lost that much weight, I definitely wouldn't want to do it in those stages. And your girl would be working every job known to man to get that done. Because doubling everything is definitely a lot more. So
what's the longest you've ever planned? Have you done like a planned 9-hour, or like 8 is your max planned, or today's 11 was planned to be that one?
What's my longest planned? Probably about 12 hours.
Okay.
Give or take. Like, we start at 7, finish at 7, or 8, something like that.
How many of those a year do you do?
I think I have an 8-hour one, or an 8 p.m. one coming up in a few weeks on a day we're not recording.
Yay!
That is so long.
Yeah, I have one going till 8 p.m. in a few weeks. That's probably as long as I'll do. Sorry, say that again?
What are they having done that's leading to 12 hours?
What are they having done? Let's see.
This is fast.
Lower body lift with BBL and then a breast lift. Oh. But it's a type of breast lift where we use your own tissue to do an augmentation, essentially. So it's basically buttock with auto augmentation and breast with auto augmentation. So that breast lift alone takes about 4 or 5 hours. So
does it? Okay.
And the lower body lift's about 6 hours. So then you add the lipo and all the other stuff, and you're going to sleep. Waking
that
up,
one is going to look great, though.
I think she'll look good. Yes. Yeah.
And what do you mean by the butt augmentation? Like, what's going on there?
So, you know, we call it an auto augmentation, really, just to mean that it's using your own tissue. So traditionally, a lot of lower body lift surgeons will do, like, they'll save some tissue in the butt, right? So this would be better in pictures, but let's say you've got your buttock here, and then you've got the loose skin that you're going to cut. So you're going to cut this away and then lift it up.
Okay.
The problem with that is that it flattens the butt when you do that.
That's the poor people that get lower body lifts and are left with no butt.
Right there.
Yes. I had one show me his after. It had no butt. And I was like, oh, you are not the man for me.
Yeah.
I didn't understand what I was going for. I was like, you are stuck in the 90s of the thin, thin, thin. Like, we need
rounded
butts.
So traditionally what surgeons did was do an auto augmentation. So instead of removing this tissue and lifting it up, you actually just take the skin off, you leave the fat, and then you basically make it into a little like lip of tissue and then fold it under as you lift the other tissue up over it. So that's one version of an auto augmentation. I probably stopped doing that about 3 or 4 years ago because it tends to put the volume that you need not exactly where you want it, or it puts it a little bit too high. So instead of being like projected in the buttock, it's projected high in the buttock. So I do, I call it an auto augmentation, but it's really a BBL. So I actually lipo the back and the trunk and everything, cut away that tissue that people usually save. And then I put the fat where exactly where I want it, but I can customize, you know, where the maximum projection is.
And this is why you go to Dr. Bates. Yes. He will make sure your booties look like booties.
Right.
And I think that's the thing. It's like, it's good to look natural. Like, your body is supposed to have a butt, right? Like, it's supposed to be there. So, like,
if I'm going to pay for a butt, I better end up with a butt.
You want a butt.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes. So, Ashlyn, what do your people look like? And when they go, when they just came from Dr. B's and they're like, so I went to the surgeon and I can't do it one, I have to do two. And I'm very upset.
I think a lot of times I remind clients that this is all new information to us. You probably had no idea what you wanted was going to take 12 hours or needed multi-stage. So it is okay that you were disappointed because you didn't get what you wanted, which makes sense. I think I have a lot of clients that are like, I want to be one and done because I just want to take one amount of time off. I want to pay one amount. I want to have one loan or whatever they're going to do. And they just want to be done. And so I, as the therapist, often just deal with the disappointment that you can't have what you want, or you may not end up with the result that you want. And so then we have to decide like what your tolerance level is for the outcome. So does it feel more tolerable to get less, but only have one surgery and then the possibility of having another one? Does it feel more tolerable to spend more money and take more time, you know, take a certain amount of time off? Like, what feels more tolerable, or what do you think that you'd be okay with? I think the issue for some of us, myself included, is sometimes impulsively, I just want what I want, what I want. I think that's a very common human thing. So sometimes it's helpful to talk to your like, let's break that down a little bit. So what could that possibly mean? And in this scenario, what does that look like? What's the pros and cons? But what are the pros and cons that actually mean something to you? So I think one thing as a therapist I often do is we'll put like a number weight to pros and cons, each individual one, because even though there may be a whole lot of cons, there may be some cons that like don't really bother you. So for occasionally I have a client that like money is really not an issue. It just isn't. So they got to pay a bunch of money. That is a con, but it's a con that holds very little weight, where someone else may say one of the cons is that they need to spend more money, and that's actually going to be really challenging. So we want to weigh that more. So I think sometimes where like, oh, I just feel like I'm like, I don't know what to do, is because the con list or the pro list looks really big, but a lot of them either have a lot of meaning or no meaning. And so they're looking and they're saying, well, I have all these reasons, but no one's saying like, but what is the weight of the reason?
Yeah.
So it's like,
what
a fun
does it really mean?
For if you do a pro con, just put a 0 to 10. So that way you are kind of weighting things more evenly, or have a conversation with a third party person so that you can actually talk some of that out. Because someone else in your life who's not a third party may, or is not a third party that has a connection, may have their own, like, well, I don't want to take care of you twice.
Right. Yeah.
Get it all done one, you know, and so that may be the best for you, right? Or you may, I've definitely had clients who, probably not for the best of their health, will just doctor shop until someone says yes. And we've talked about in other episodes that that could be very problematic and dangerous potentially. You know, if Dr.
You'll find someone, but they might not be safe.
Right. So if Dr. Mm-hmm. Bates is saying this may take 12 hours and then you find someone who tells you it may take 6, and they're not like a double team, they're not like two teams working on you at the same time or some reasonable explanation on why, you're probably either not going to get the result you want or you may not be getting a safe result. So sometimes we have those kind of conversations too. Like, you could just keep asking, finding another surgeon. Is there something more to that? So I think processing disappointment and also trying to figure out what to do. Just like in bariatrics, it is very strange. Like, okay, when we get our gallbladder out, the surgeon doesn't say there's 3 different ways I can do this. I can do it in 3 different, I could do it in a hospital setting. I could do it in a surgical setting. I could do it in, I don't know, in my office. They just say, I need you to come to the hospital at 9 o'clock on this day. We're going to do your operation. But in bariatrics and in plastics, we have a lot of choice, which is weird for us. So you go to the bariatric surgeon, there's like, well, there's 3 different surgeries. They all have different potential outcomes, but you get to decide. This may be my recommendation, but that's very weird. And the same thing in plastics. There's potentially many different ways we could get to this, and you get to figure out your tolerance level, just like in bariatrics, for the potential outcomes. And so that could be really hard because for a lot of us, I think maybe a little more so for my older clients, they're used to doctors telling them what to do.
Yeah.
And so it's really hard when they go and they're like, well, we could do this, and we could do that, and we could, where they're like, well, what should I do? And then, you know, we have to have more of this conversation of like, okay, well, what's your tolerance level, you know, for these different aspects and how much do they mean to you?
Which I have had that problem before too, where I just like, just tell me what I have to do. I will follow whatever your instructions are. Just tell me. And they're like, no, you have to decide. And I'm like, son of a bitch.
Yeah.
But what happens if I choose wrong and I mess this all up for my body? It's scary. It can be. But like, I'm, you know, have a therapist that you can talk to. Calm your booty down a little bit.
But it is weird. I mean, you think about like, when I had my gallbladder out, no one gave me any choice. I just showed up and took it out.
Yep.
I didn't talk about settings because it would have cost me less if he had done it in a different, you know, like, I just showed up. He did the thing.
Yeah, we're like a la carte-ing our body with Dr. Bates.
Well, you know, I mean, your gallbladder, no one's ever going to see.
That's true.
The inside and what the surgeon did, which, I mean, is, this, I guess, maybe a little bit of a scary thought. But everything we do, people are going to see, right? So.
And it is, in like bariatrics, that kind of, I think that's a good analogy to use against it. It is like there are different outcomes depending on what kind of bariatric surgery and what are you willing to tolerate. So there are certain side effects. There are certain potentials for weight regain. There are certain potentials for recurrence of medical conditions that may resolve. And so you kind of have to decide your tolerance level for that potential. Same in plastics.
Well, I like what you're, I like that weighting of the pros and cons.
I like that too.
Yeah, I've never heard of that, but like, I'm so using that now, Ashlyn. Yeah.
It's
so,
why most people, when they're like really confused and they'll tell me like, the answer is so clear, but I can't make it. And I'm like, that's because there's a whole bunch on that side, but none of that really matters to you. Like, particularly like job changing, leaving someone, like ending a relationship. So they'll be like, this relationship is good for me in so many ways. It's just these two things. And I'm like, yeah, those two things mean a lot to you and these other things don't. And that's why you feel you need to leave. But you think logistically, when I visually look at this list, it doesn't make sense why I would leave. It is like, well, those two things really matter.
That meant, oh my God, that's like light bulb, because it's so true. I remember, because guys, I do have an ex, and I definitely, for years, because I was one of those that like, it took me almost 5 years to actually like be 100% done. And it's because of the pros and cons back and forth. It's like, and it changes, and it's interesting because it's just like, I even put myself on a timeline. I was like, if I still feel this way in X amount of time, this is what I'm going to do. And I still didn't do it. I waited 2 more years.
Well, I think sometimes, and this definitely happens with plastics, is you can get into analysis paralysis.
Yes.
I'll get another opinion and another. I had this one client, she saw like 6 surgeons and they all had different opinions of what she should do. And I was like, I think you have too many. I think part of the problem is now have too many choices.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. 100%.
And then well, she knew it for the longest time because she was like, I don't know. This surgeon thinks I need this. And this surgeon thinks I need this. And this surgeon thinks that's great. Like, and then it was like, well, who's right? And again, I think it has to do with, no one is necessarily right or wrong to some degree. It's just how they did it, how they do it, how they're trained, what they think will look bad. It's just fears. It's like the person who gets a hysterectomy and one does it vaginally and one does it laparoscopically and one does it open and one does it with a robot and one, you know, they all have their reasons why they're doing it that way. And often it's training and what they think the best outcome will be. Dr. Bates, do you have some more thoughts on that one?
I mean, I would say for them, my recommendation would be instead of doctor shopping, do your homework ahead of time, you know, research your surgeon, look at their results. And again, I think we've probably talked about this in other episodes, but if you don't like the results they're putting online, then you're probably not going to like the results because those are usually our best results, right? People cherry pick, their best before and afters, and that's what they're showing online. They're not going to show a bad result. They might show an average one here and there, but they're picking their top, right? Top 5%, 10%, 20%, whatever. And so I would do that ahead of time, do your research, and then go see surgeon A who you like. And if you click with them, then just go for it. I don't know why people like to get like 6 different opinions or 3 different opinions, because if you like the results and you click with them personality wise and you feel like they have your best interest and they're going to deliver the result, then why go get multiple opinions? It's funny. Sometimes I see patients come see me all the time for second opinions. But I also know sometimes patients go see others and I'm like, well, either we didn't click or you didn't like what I said. Yeah. But I've had patients come back to me. Like I had a guy come in a few weeks ago. He saw me, I guess he went elsewhere and I didn't know where he went. He just disappeared. And then came in a few weeks ago and he was like, well, I went to a surgeon down the street and I don't like my results. And I had an infection and, you know, he had other issues. And then he's like, I want you to fix it. And I was like, I can't fix that problem. Sorry. It's like, you know, he's like, I have pain here. It's uncomfortable. I was like, you got to go back to your old surgeon. Some of these things are very difficult, not impossible to fix, especially if I didn't do your original surgery.
Oh no.
Yeah. He has to go back to the person that, no bueno. I bet his timeline's all messed up then, because he didn't vet his person.
Probably, and I mean the problem.
What the problem was that he ultimately
came in for?
Had in the end.
Why he came to me?
No, like in the, what was the issue that he wanted the revision for?
So a couple of things. He wasn't happy with, so he had chest and abdominal surgery. He wasn't happy with his chest scars. The problem is his scars went basically like almost into the armpit and like way too high for a chest. And so I told him, you know, I can't convert you to an upper backlift because your scar is way too high. It's like much higher than backlift. And I can't convert into a torsoplasty because the scar goes too far back. So he's kind of in this awkward spot where the other surgeon did, you know, something kind of like non-traditional, but also like, you know, I hate to say this, but like, were you thinking of what you were doing when you did what you did? Because if you had given a thought, then that's not like no reasonable person would have done this, you know, made this incision pattern. And they're very asymmetric from left to right. Like one is up here in the armpit and the other one is like down here.
Oh no.
And then the abdomen, I suspect, so basically his complaint with that, he's in pain all the time. And if he does specific movements, he gets like a little zap or electric shock. That's usually a nerve. Mm-hmm. And so I told him, you know, I might be able to help with that, but I need you to go get the original surgeon's report because, you know, I want to know, did he use permanent suture, absorbable suture? And again, I told him ultimately the best person to fix this is the guy who did your surgery because he operated and he was inside and did your surgery.
Yeah.
But again, this guy is like, well, I don't want to go back there. So it's sometimes tough to help these people as much as you want to. But I also told him I could go in there. I could find a suture. It may be what I suspect is causing you the pain. I might remove it and your pain's not better. So you're still back at square one and I haven't really done you any good.
That would really suck.
And you've paid a lot of money for me to do that. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. So you really look out for the patient though. You can tell. Cause you're just like, I mean, you technically could have taken his money and tried it but you're like, no, like this is not.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, exactly. And I told him, you know, I mean, you're a surgeon. He's not a bad surgeon. I've never met the guy, but I've heard his name in town. And I told him, I think you're better off going back and having him fix this. And hopefully, you know, if you were my patient, I wouldn't charge you. I would just take you to the OR, open up the incision to cut out a suture or two, because I suspect that's what the issue is. And I told him, for your back, I'm happy to revise it, but it's going to be a very unusual scar because of what the other guy did. I haven't seen him since, so I'm not really sure what he's going to do.
You better keep us posted.
Maybe second and third and fourth opinions.
Yep, 100%.
It's interesting. So. I had a client who had that like mysterious pain, and it was a male client. He'd do like random things, and he would get it like in the hip area.
The hip can be a nerve. Yeah,
the nerve. Yeah.
Usually, like the kind of like electric shock, and people get it. You might have had it after surgery, Ashley.
Yeah, it went away.
Electric shock.
Yeah.
Yes, so it goes away. A lot of that is a nerve. You know, you cut a nerve. And like sometimes they're microscopic, and the nerve is just trying to find its other end, so it's kind of sending out signals, right? And those are the little shocks that you get.
It literally feels like it's jumping like an electric fence, and then it's connecting, and you can feel the like bzzz. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bizarre. It's very strange feeling.
And so, yeah, after a few weeks, that pain goes away. The problem is, you know, you can get one of two problems. One is where the nerve is trying to do that, and then it ends up sending, like, it starts to grow, basically, and it doesn't find an end, and it becomes like a scar ball. The second is if a suture has grabbed the nerve. I use dissolvable suture. So if it's a dissolvable suture, I tell patients if they have that pain, if it's from a suture, it's going to go away in like 6 to 12 weeks, right? By 3 months, it should be gone. But if you use a permanent suture, then you can cause the same issue where you've kind of trapped the nerve, and it's just constantly irritated. Excuse me.
No, you're good. You're good.
Both of those are called a neuro.
He's muted for right now, y'all.
Okay. Both of those are called neuroma or aneuroma neuromas. And so they're both nerve problems. So
gotcha.
The fix of the first one is you go in, you have to operate. You go in and you have to cut the scar tissue out. The second one is you go in and you have to cut the suture up.
Okay. So it is fixable for most, we'll say like 90%. So as we wrap up, guys, is there anything that we missed about timelines? Is there anything you guys want to add for our audience?
I would say the big thing, we didn't really talk about this, but in general, don't compare your timeline to someone else's. You know, like I said earlier, some people come in at 10 months and they've lost 100 pounds, their BMI is 26, they're ready to rock and roll. Others take 5 years to get there. Others might take 10. So I would say the big thing is don't compare your timeline or your kind of journey to someone else's. You know, do what's right for you and what makes sense in your life and your lifestyle.
Yeah, don't be doing keeping up with the Joneses. You don't have to do that with your body.
And I would agree that there is no magic timeline. That the plastic surgery is not your final chapter. There's a whole nother book after that where you are faced with some even more interesting, and we'll probably do some future episodes surrounding like the fear of regained after you have plastics. Now that you've paid for it, there's a natural regain that often happens because you were super active and then all of a sudden you aren't, you have swelling. So I think just being aware that this is another chapter in a larger book. But it is not the final chapter. It's not a magic way of being done. And that there is no kind of magic timeline of it needs to be here and done by then, by this point. And that means your success or your failure. I think people get really wrapped up. If I haven't lost my weight by year one and I haven't gotten plastics by year two, that means, you know, I'm not successful. And that may not be it.
That's not true by any means. Like the reason why he is telling you it's later, because like I'm at 10 years right now, I'll be 11 in 3 months, still haven't had plastics. I want it. So, you know, but there is hurdles I have to go through to be able to have plastics, and it's okay to wait. You know, it really is. And it's better to be on your own timeline than someone else's timeline. I think it's way less stressful when you do it when it's perfect for you, when you can get out of work, the kids can be watched, you have the extra money. Like, do it when it like kind of comes full circle, because that's really the best time. So I hope you guys enjoyed this episode about timeline. We're going to be doing more about this. So don't just know the next week, we'll be talking more about what that looks like, and talking about perfection. So I'm really excited for the next episode. And if you guys have any questions, concerns, you know what to do. Just message us. You can comment below, whether that's on YouTube or on Instagram. You can message us on the Cutting Edge Podcast Instagram there, and we will help you out. So I hope you guys have a good rest of your week, and stay safe out there.
Bye.